Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
In or out?
In or out?
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
In or out?
At least you're pumping them out, baby.
What a burger.
Better cram it all in.
Nope.
In or out?
You've had a couple of really good conspiracy theories today.
Me?
Yeah. Broncos fans importing themselves into Kansas City to try to intentionally injure Patrick.
I mean, not importing, but if you move here and they find out that you're playing ball against this kid, they may make a phone call.
Just wait.
I don't know. I would.
10 minutes from now, he'll have another.
The premeditated screen by some comm studies major against Trevor Lawrence.
I've been that comm studies major. I know exactly what that guy was going through. Screw this.
Oh, this one I'm very excited about for you, Bob. The headline, thank you for being a fan. Golden Girls themed cruise set to sail in 2020. Oh, that's right. Described as a once-in-a-lifetime gathering, a five-night high-seas adventure incorporates a Golden Girls bar crawl, a fancy dress party and dinner, a bingo night, and a karaoke party at the Rusty Anchor, which was Blanche's go-to
you
place.
You gotta do this, Vasco.
Meeting the fellas.
You've gotta do this.
100% out.
What?
I don't cruise.
Oh, if they did this one on land, though, like a convention.
Maybe this is like a land at a convention.
I mean, this
hall,
sounds pretty good.
$1,000
per person for a standard cabin. That's the 5 days.
Yeah.
5 days
for
a grand.
I don't cruise.
$1,200 for a deluxe cabin with a balcony.
Oh, wow. In that case. No.
Each ticket includes unlimited drinks.
Uh-oh. I'm shocked at this one. I thought for sure Fesco was
stunned. You're not in.
No, I'm out on this one. I get motion sickness. I've cruised before and didn't have really a great experience. So
they call you Bobby Barf.
Yeah, I'm out. Yeah,
I got very excited about this the other day. Kenan Thompson.
Josh, are you in or out of that one? Because they're all dead except for Betty White. Like,
yeah,
who am I going to see?
That's what I would
you see Betty White.
When I saw the story, I'm like, aren't they all gone except for Betty? This is a...
Even Stanley Zbornak has been dead since the 90s. Like, Herb Edelman, who's showing up to this?
I don't know.
Kenan Thompson tweeting out a photo the other day. Actually, it was Monday? Yeah, Monday. Picture of him and Brian Robbins. I have no idea who that guy is. But
he was the guy in Shawshank Redemption who broke out. Yeah.
What? Anyway, Kenan tweeted out, the return of All That is upon us. He and Kel Mitchell will be producing. They made it official on Monday. So Nickelodeon's All That making a return. You guys in or out?
I was never in the first go-round, so I'm out.
I don't even know what the hell it is, so I'll be out.
Okay.
That must have been more in your age group.
It was a sketch comedy show for the children.
For the children, yeah. I'm aware of what it was, but... Everything comes back at some point in time.
Likely
so good,
the
good
humor will not be in my age range anymore.
Are they going to be in it, or are they going to cast it with younger?
They're producing, so right. I think they're going to
recast it.
Yeah, Lori Beth Denberg will still be there. let's see here. Apparently, Seth Rogen and the Lonely Island Boys going to capitalize on the success of this Fyre Festival documentary.
Yep.
They are planning a Fyre Festival spoof movie.
I'm in.
Totally in.
Yep, this is good.
I don't even need to go any
further.
Those
guys are
great.
I really enjoy the.
Lastly, for you.
Nothing better than making fun of 20 somethings who have money burning a hole in their pocket that they get screwed.
Yeah. I mean, we established this. I feel bad for the people that were at that restaurant.
Right.
And like the people that were day laborers who got lost wages. But outside of that, I don't feel bad for spoiled rich kids who wasted their parents' money.
No.
Or their inheritance or wherever they got their money from. It was all wasted. Last one for you, Hardee's. Deciding to bring back the grilled cheese bacon thick burger.
How did they ever get rid of that?
That was my question.
A fan favorite 1/3-pound black Angus thick burger, bacon, 2 pieces of Swiss cheese, and 2 pieces of American cheese. That's 4 pieces of cheese if you're counting it home. All sandwiched between 2 slices of lightly toasted sourdough bread rounds.
So in.
I'm in on that. That sounds good. In. Have you been down there yet, Ryan, to get that?
I have a Hardee's on the way out of my house.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
It's on the same street and everything.
I'm more amazed that one got away from them. Like,
yeah.
It was out like 5 years ago
four
or something.
Four slices of cheese,
like,
all that.
How did that go away?
$5.89. You can get it all the way up until April 23rd. Is this the McRib for Hardee's
now? I guess, man. Yes. But that sounds good.
Limited time only. Totally in. That's today's edition of In or Out. The big story straight ahead, and Bob gets a chance to bring out that tinfoil hat once again. Find out why next.
Fesco in the morning.
Lot to get to between now and 9 o'clock. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Fesco will get the tinfoil hat out. We're not buying the new league that needs a bunch of money already. And no crying tears for the White Sox today. They missed out on what is the big story of today.
It's the big story.
Big, big, big.
It's what you're talking about.
If it was a regular salad, I wouldn't have said anything. But you had to have that big
time. You want it? We got it now.
Well, that does sound big.
Big story brought to you by Spring Venture Group, a company who is reimagining the relationship between sales, data, and technology. Find out more at springventuregroup.com. Manny Machado signing the largest U.S. free agent sports contract, $30 million per season, 10 years, $300 million with the San Diego Padres. According to reports, he has an opt-out after year 5. Remember, the Padres landed the largest offseason deal of last year as well with Eric Hosmer at $144 million. $444 million over the last 2 years for two guys. You go, San Diego. Your checkbook is apparently massive.
Yeah, and as you said, they spent more money over the last 25 years for two dudes. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be in sports. I mean, going forward, we're always going to see these extreme contracts, you know, knock the crap out of the other contracts that were scheduled before them and signed before them, and they're always going to seemingly set records. But I just wonder, if I'm a Padres fan, is it enough? Have they done enough to become winners? And I don't know that they had. I said to start the show, the Royals will have more wins this year than the San Diego Padres will. Because you look at that Padres pitching staff, and you don't know anybody on there. They all had ERAs in the fours last year. And if you can't figure out a way to shut down the opposition, you can't always rely on your offense, as we saw with the Chiefs. You eventually have to get a stop on defense. And in baseball, pitching has been the currency of the game since it started and will always be the currency of the game. It's hard to ask your offense to go out there, score 5, 6, 7 runs a night in order to put you in position to win because your pitching staff can't hold down the opposition. That's essentially what you're asking them to do. I mean, your starters are giving up 4 runs a game, so you're at a -4 just for starting the game. You got to get 4 runs just to get to even to give yourself an opportunity to win a game on an average night if you're the San Diego Padres. So good luck to them. I think it's a nice signing. It's not sour grapes or anything like that. But I just wonder how many of these years of Machado and Hosmer are going to be wasted because your pitching isn't there. J.J. Cooper of Baseball America tweeted out yesterday that they've got all their bats and position players at AAA and the big league level, but all of their pitchers are at the single-A and double-A levels. And so how fast are they going to be up to the big league level? And will you ultimately end up having to trade some of those guys to get ready-made pitching now at the big league level so you can compete while you have Machado and Eric Hosmer under contract?
We've been discussing quite a bit lately, football or baseball, what case could baseball make? And that a lot of the cases, if you had a decision, would probably go towards football for a lot of financial reasons. This is one where you could counteract it and say, hey, Manny Machado just got 10 years, $300 million. Guaranteed.
Right.
For just signing on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to do a thing more. The most money anyone has ever made in the NFL in a career is Peyton Manning.
How many years did he play? 18?
Forever. And too many. Although he didn't win. He's more than $50 million shy of 300.
Right. He made about 249.
In career earnings.
Right.
Career earnings. Manny Machado, for signing on the dotted line, is going to eclipse the most a football player ever made in their career. It's incredible. So there is a case for there's your case for baseball. If you're at the very top of your profession, in this instance, you might be able to make more than any football player does.
You remember that old Aesop fable, the tortoise and the hare? Slow and steady wins the race, is what they always said. We don't live in a society where we embrace slow and steady anymore. We want a quick fix and an immediate answer yesterday. And baseball doesn't provide for the immediate answers like the NFL does. If you're a guaranteed first-round draft pick in the NFL, it probably does behoove you to pick football over baseball, because it's probably going to take you 8 years to even get close to making the kind of money that you're going to make in your first couple of years of playing in the NFL if you're one of the top draft picks. And so if you're willing to bet on yourself and you're willing to work hard and you're willing to put in the effort, baseball is the route to go for long term. But if you want a quick fix, hit it now, be retired by the time you're 25 and have a couple of bucks in the bank, then football is the way to go. It's, you know, it's like, and I hate to use this term, but it's like the millennials right now. Do you think millennials would rather play football or baseball? I saw a brilliant billboard in Los Angeles over the weekend that was for an investment company, John Hancock, maybe. I don't remember what it was.
Oh, wasn't that brilliant, then.
No, but it was. The billboard was...
You didn't remember it. Yeah, it didn't quite hit the mark. You liked the message, didn't know who it was coming from.
I think it was John Hancock, but the message was, they say we millennials are lazy. Well, let's prove them right and retire early. Football gives you the opportunity to make a couple of bucks and retire early. Baseball gives you the opportunity to be a very conservative investor, invest for the long term, and at the end of the day, you'll cash out big and have a huge lump sum. In football, you're hitting the day trade market.
Why is there only one person ever to be named Aesop?
Well, why try to challenge that name again? He had his fables, and that was it, man.
Like not a lot of use of that name.
Somebody would have recycled it by now.
There's your big story brought to you by Spring Venture Group. In 10 minutes, we'll tell you that the Machado offer, while very large, wasn't actually the biggest one on the table. We'll discuss that coming up in about 10 minutes. But Fesco's going to install his tinfoil hat, and this time I can't... ESPN...
Well, you can't what?
I can't necessarily disagree in this particular instance. Wow. Because this one would...
This how one excited would, he is right
this
now.
One, this one, I don't know if you need the tinfoil or not.
My reaction right now is when Deborah tells Marie in Everybody Loves Raymond that she wishes her mother was more like Marie.
Yeah. ESPN started a years-long investigation. Actually,
obscure reference.
Got underway in 2017 and then put out a piece this week about Tim Donaghy, the NBA official who admitted to betting on games that he was a part of. And they took it a step further and explained how he was in on the fix.
Yeah.
Which he has never admitted to publicly, right? I bet on games. The leap would be you bet on games you were officiating.
Right. And Rafael Palmeiro didn't take steroids.
I think you would want to influence the outcome of those games if you could, based on the bets that you had. Just a fascinating read, though, at ESPN.com about the people that were involved, what level it got involved, how it snowballed, and people were finding out, like, oh, yeah, you can make money betting on games he's doing. And then finding out the people he was betting with initially, and then the people that were paying him to take their side of the bets. I don't think the guy made enough money, one, reading the article. I'm not sure Tim Donaghy made enough money on this thing if he was the one, like, putting himself out there to fix games. But also, clearly, he was fixing games.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you read this article, is there anything that you could take out of it that doesn't say, oh, yeah, No, he was just a gambler. No, he was fixing games.
No, he was fixing games. They admitted to calling calls certain ways and you know, calling early fouls to kind of set the tone for the team that he wanted to win. He was getting basically $2,000 a game if it went in the favor that the bettors wanted them to go.
I don't think it's enough, but
NBA
anyway.
Officials make between $150,000 and $550,000 a year. So it's a decent enough salary to be an NBA official. I mean, that's a really good salary.
I'm saying you're putting your livelihood on the line for $2,000 a game.
For $2,000 a game.
I don't think you got paid enough.
Yeah,
he's going to do that.
I'm with you. When you said he didn't get enough, I said time or money.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, money.
Because
I thought the same thing. I'm like, you're only getting $2,000? And it was only if the game went in the favor of
the story right. Initially, he was part of gambling, and then there was some kind of discussion about being fair. Like, this is too obvious. You can't be putting your money towards this stuff, but we can pay. We can make it worth your while to continue to do this.
Right,
right. That's kind of the gist of it, where he was gambling early on his games with another dude, and they were putting in money, and they were gambling on the games. Then his money took his money out, and they were paying him on a per game basis.
Basically, he was getting like a per diem
to you know, help the line a little.
Yeah. You know, call a few calls this way, make a few calls happen that way, and make sure we win. And if we win, we'll give you $2,000. And I'm like, that doesn't really seem like a lot of money. But did you think back then? If you told folks this was going on, do you think folks would have believed? They would say, oh, there's no way this could happen.
Right.
No way this could happen.
Seemingly,
right?
That's what the NBA tried to say for a while, too.
Right, and they did. And
then got into protect yourself mode.
Right, and then they realized, oh, my God, this is happening. See how easy it was for a referee to go out there for a number of years and fix these games? See how easy it is? And so when I sit here and talk about the NFL being rigged and the referees having an interest in these games and things of that nature.
But to me, that's a different story than the NFL is scripting.
It all comes down to money, doesn't it?
I think I can make a case for, an official, if they wanted to take money, could affect outcomes of games. I think that's not as big a leap for me as the NFL has a script and it's mandated that this happen and you are to carry it out.
I'm not there
in your tinfoil.
Yeah, I understand that. Money makes people do crazy things. And for just $2,000 a game, which really isn't a lot. I mean,
for just $2,000 a game, you too can be on the right side of a bet.
But I mean, how many games do you ref as an official? 40, 50 games a year?
Yeah.
So you 50 games times $2,000? I mean, does that seem like a lot of money?
It doesn't. I feel like he should.
Right.
If he was doing this and putting himself on the line, he should have got a better return.
What's stopping the NFL refs who are part-time employees from taking this cheddar on the side, Josh? What's stopping those guys? For years, we keep hearing, they're part-time employees. They're part-time employees. What's stopping them from taking a couple extra, kind of shillings on the side to go out there and throw a flag here or throw a flag there? So for me, it's question everything. It's absolutely question everything that goes on. And I don't think you're in the wrong to question the legitimacy of anything that takes place right now, because it's all about the money. And when big bucks are involved, people will do crazy things to make sure that they cash in on those big bucks, as we talked about. It was better for the NFL, for a TV standpoint, and to make L.A. succeed, to have the Rams in that Super Bowl than to have the New Orleans Saints in that Super Bowl. You got Los Angeles on board. And when I was out in L.A., you couldn't pass a store that didn't have Rams gear for sale. You couldn't pass a place that didn't have something to offer for the Los Angeles Rams. They needed to make sure that team started to have success, especially with the new stadium going in. Everything lines up for the league making sure the Rams had success in their first couple of years in Los Angeles, and they've accomplished that. They needed the Rams to do that to get their footprint taken in L.A. because you get passed by a lot of things in Los Angeles, man. Traffic, beaches, women, Hollywood, all kinds of stuff that goes on out there that doesn't take place anywhere else. You have to find a way to, boom, get into that culture and to become top of mind. And the only way you do that is becoming a winning organization. And it's no coincidence, overnight, the Rams became a winning organization. We're in the Super Bowl 3 years after moving to Los Angeles.
Fascinating reading. I want to check that out at ESPN.com. That was really, really well done. And amazing, too, that the NBA, terrific job of, like, squashing it and keeping a lid on what was going down and when it was going down. And still to this day, doing that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's one rogue guy that And he wasn't even fixing games. Like, yeah, he was.
Yo, he was fixing games.
Totally was.
When you're like the early offensive fouls to set the tone were like the one that I'm just like, God,
yeah.
How do we not pick up on this earlier?
Yeah. And it seemed like he blew the whistle a lot. I don't know.
He did. His whistle.
I don't know a lot of stats for officials and how many times they blow a whistle during a game. It seemed like he was calling a lot of stuff.
His whistle rate was high, they said.
All right, the AAF getting a new buy-in from the Carolina Hurricanes owner, who's also now the chairman of the board as they head into week three of their season.
Would you give somebody $250 million if you weren't going to be in charge?
No. I don't blame the Hurricanes guy at all. I think I'm not buying that this wasn't an emergency. We had to do it because we didn't have any money, and we also had to give this guy a lot of power because he came in at the last minute and bailed us out because we weren't making payroll.
Right.
If they did this before the season started, before their league opened, and said, oh, let's check out the legitimacy of this league. The Carolina Hurricanes owner is on board, and he's also a chair. Look at this. A guy from another established league is taking his money. He really believes in this product and is a part of this thing. Before they ever kicked off, I'd be like, okay, all right, wow, you got some backing to this. I'm buying your spin job that this was just an opportunity, not an urgency. No, it was an urgency.
No, definitely
to
an
keep
urgency.
A fledgling league open that in week three or heading into week three was already having some major financial troubles and needed $250 million.
Yeah. Ebersole's kid comes out yesterday who runs the league and says, we didn't need the money. This is not something that, you know, he invested in because we needed him to. He did it because he saw a great opportunity here. You did.
Yeah, to save your bacon and to get a.
What opportunity did you see by the first, like, I didn't even know week two happened.
And get a title.
Yeah, I mean, so this guy's a self-made billionaire, so he's got the money to spend on something like this. And when you have that kind of money, you can just spend any way you want. You do things like this. This is the perk of being a rich dude who has no cares in the world. He's got the opportunity to go out there and say, yeah, all right, I'll give you $250 million, but I'm the chairman of this thing, and we're going to run it my way. And then if it has success, then you can take all the accolades for being the chairman of this league and doing things on the up and up and figuring out a way to make money in a secondary football league. So it really is almost a win-win situation for this guy. Yeah, he's investing $250 million, but if they have success, it's going to really put him into another stratosphere as a sports owner because he found a way to make a fledgling football league actually work where we've never really seen that, you know, in the past.
Now, if it succeeds going forward, yeah, it's going to be a great investment
for
him.
Sure, right.
If I were him, I mean,
I'd be recruiting other investors.
Yeah, I'd be like, look, I know I got in this because you guys are in some trouble. Let's get this thing going in the right direction because I'm not wasting my money.
Right, because this is how all these football leagues end up folding. I don't know how many of these guys, like, you know, in that UFL league, like Marty Schottenheimer and Jim Haslett and some of these other guys, maybe Jim Fossil was coaching in that league. All those guys, you talk to them, and they're all owed money. Every football league that has started up other than the NFL has folded and is left owing people millions of dollars. And they're all going to be different. Oh, this one's going to work because the last one, that UFL, I'll never forget because Jim Haslett coached in that league. And I think he got a lot of his money up front from I remember the story of him telling me.
It's always a good play in these leagues.
It's a smart move.
Yeah.
But that was going to work because Nancy Pelosi's husband was backing it. Well, we got Nancy Pelosi's husband backing the deal, so this one's going to be different. No, it's not. And I still don't believe this AAFL or whatever it's going to be,
AAF
is going to be any different until I see that it's going to be different because every league that's come before it has failed, and this doesn't give me any. I mean, even the XFL, which had the backing of the WWE, failed. Okay? That's the biggest entertainment entity in the world, and it failed because they didn't do it the right way.
They're going to try again.
Try again. Next year. Right. Because we need a third football league, right?
Well, if you're looking for an investor, maybe, just maybe it's Manny Machado, 10 years, $300 million with the San Diego Padres. The interesting part of this, apparently not the best offer. Not the best offer out there. The best offer is believed to have come from the Chicago White Sox.
Define best, though.
Total money. At the end of the day, total money.
Total guaranteed total
money. Not guaranteed. That seemed to be the hang-up. He wanted $300 million.
Right, and the White Sox were only offering $250 guaranteed.
He wanted $300 million. He wanted to be the first $300 million player. That was the goal, right? Be 300.
Yep.
They offered eight for 250 plus two options that would push the deal to, and then incentives that would push the total deal to 350.
Right.
So it would have been 10 years, 350. Not all guaranteed.
Right, not all guaranteed.
This one's all guaranteed, and that was the rub. So the White Sox, smart play by them. Their general manager, Rick Hahn, got out in front of the fans yesterday in Chicago and said, man, we thought we had the best offer. We feel in many ways we had the best offer and didn't get it.
We should be proud of the aggressiveness and creativity of our offer, which we were told not only was extremely competitive, but if the reports that are out there are accurate, was superior to what was ultimately accepted in certain ways. That said, this is free agency. These players have worked extremely hard to get to this point, and they have choices. Again, from the rawness and selfish standpoint, or my individual standpoint, trying really hard and failing is not sufficient. This isn't the last time we're going to be pursuing premium talent, and we're not going to convert on all of them. Learn that lesson harshly today. But we aren't going to shy away from continuing to try to make this team better.
I'm glad the White Sox didn't get him, but I also think the White Sox did a good job. Go out in front of your fans and say, we tried, man. We put an offer we think is actually better than the one he took.
That's right.
We couldn't have done much more. Now, the cynical fan could say, well, you could have guaranteed those final 2 years and the money. Well, okay. Yeah. We gave him another $50 million to make it better. He was fixated on 300. He got 300 elsewhere. But, we gave it our best shot. And a lot of ways, this was a better deal.
It's funny how this all worked out because Manny Machado signed that contract with the opportunity to opt out after the fifth year. So even he's not really in this for the guaranteed long haul because he has the opportunity to opt out. The White Sox were offering to pay him for 8 years and then have two option years for them because they don't offer opt-outs in their contract. That's the way they operate. That's the way they do business. That's fine. But he was willing to take a deal with an opt-out if he wanted to get out of it, but he didn't want to have the opportunity for the team to get out of it.
Correct.
Okay, I'm just making sure we're on the same page here.
Yeah, I mean, if you have that inclination too in the back of your mind, like I know a lot of people were talking about Antonio Brown yesterday and his meeting with, what the hell is the Steelers?
Rooney,
there you go.
Yeah, Art Rooney.
Either way, like if you have a question as to why he is wanting out and why he is wanting this money, like just look at Manny Machado. Look at the amount of sway that they have in Major League Baseball by saying, not only am I going to get every dollar that you say you want to pay me, I also have the option of just leaving if I get tired of being here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the NFL, that is completely turned upside down.
Yeah, in the NFL, you leave when they tell you to leave.
I mean, I don't remember how I got down this weird rabbit hole, but I was in a...
true. Antonio Brown left before they...
I was reading some comments on an Emmanuel Sanders thread because somebody was telling him to renegotiate and restructure his deal. And Emmanuel Sanders, he had tweeted out, he's like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. No.
Like, why would anybody ever want to do that?
Because Tom Brady kind of set that precedent, and everybody thinks that's the way it should be.
It's just amazing.
Just think about your own job. If the boss came up to you and says, well, we need you to restructure because we want to pay Bill in accounting, up yours, you know?
It's just amazing to me the spectrum and the swing of, well, we got to pay this guy and pay this guy his money. He's earned it. And, oh, the owners are cheap. And then all of a sudden, well, now you players are being greedy and you need to restructure. So
it's a circular argument, Ryan. It's chasing your tail. You can make it any way you want.
Today in history.
Gentlemen, I'm here to help you with your history report.
Sure. Sounds important.
Do you know what today is?
History! What's today? October?
It is not October. It is February 20th of 2019. A lot of very important things happen on February 20th. Did you know that on this day in 1792, the U.S. Postal Service was created? A postage stamp would cost you 6 to 12 cents, depending on where you were sending it.
Where you're sending it. Huh.
Well, that's pretty cool.
There you go.
And it's only 50 cents now to send a letter?
It's inflation, Bob, but it's not bad.
No, I mean, like I'm saying, like, in like 200 years, it has not gone up much.
Seems to have increased a lot recently.
But we always complain about the price of a stamp. If for 50 cents, you can send a letter from here to anywhere.
Literally no one is complaining about that.
Not anymore, but they used to.
On this day in 1872, the hydraulic electric elevator was patented by Cyrus Baldwin. Fat people everywhere rejoiced. On this day in 1944, Batman and Robin, the comic strip, premiered in newspapers.
Oh.
They still do comics in the newspapers, the funnies.
I don't know. Do people still get the newspaper?
I don't believe there are funnies anymore.
Do we even have a local paper anymore?
We've got about 20 people working there. On this day in 1949, the first international pancake race was held in Liberal, Kansas.
Oh!
I had to do some exhaustive research on this. This is actually a transatlantic competition between Liberal, Kansas and only Buckinghamshire, England. Each year, participants in each community determine who can run a 415-yard race the fastest while also being able to flip a pancake. Yeah.
Do they sell tickets to this?
I'm sure we could probably just pull up a chair. Bring a lawn chair and show up in Liberal, Kansas. On this day in 1952, Emmett Ashford became the first African-American umpire in organized baseball.
Cool.
Great.
On this day in 1959, 16-year-old Jimi Hendrix played his first gig in the Temple de Hirsch Synagogue basement in Seattle.
That's pretty cool.
He was fired from that band after their first set because they said he was playing wildly.
Playing too loud. That's one I wish I could see in concert.
Get a
Hendrix?
Ticket.
Hendrix, yeah.
It's always a good one. On this day in 1988, Brian Boitano won an Olympic gold medal in figure skating.
What would Brian Boitano do?
Tip of the cap to you, Brian. And lastly for you, on this day in 2016, a 4-inch lock of John Lennon's hair was sold for $35,000 to a memorabilia collector in an auction in Dallas.
Is it now in the Hair Museum in Independence?
It probably should be. I don't know why it's not. Happy 53rd birthday to Cindy Crawford. That's right, 53, boys. Sidney Poitier is 92 today.
Wow. Poitier.
Charles Barkley, Sir Charles, the round mound of rebound, is 56. Kurt Cobain would have been 52 today. Gotta wrap your brain around that one. And Rihanna turns 31. Happy birthday, Riri! All of that happening on this day in history.
Commercial-free half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Look out, ladies. Trevor Bauer is out there, and he's bringing the reel next.
Fesco in the morning.
I'll tell you what, man, you're looking for something perfect to do on this snow day with the kiddos, aren't you? Well, sign up for a family membership at the J and get your kids active on a snow day. Not just on the snow day, but every day of the week. It's where my family and I have been going for over 2 years now, and they literally have something for everyone. And right now, if you sign up for a membership at the J, you will save 40% off your entire membership if you do it in the month of February and mention us here on 610 Sports Radio. I love going to the J as a family more than I love going by myself because my kids will go in the pool and they'll play in the pool. They'll hang out there on the indoor pool on days like this. My wife and I can get our workouts in the fitness center, and the kids can be entertained for hours, and it gives you something to do, and it's a great way to stay in shape or get in shape as a family. They've got so many different activities for the kiddos. They've got family night out where you can drop the kiddos off and go out to dinner with your wife, come back and pick them up. They've got the indoor pool for this time of the year, but I know it looks snowy outside right now. Those outdoor pools are going to be open in May, and the kids are going to love it when you take them to those outdoor pools. Two outdoor pools, great slides, a Water-Rama water park. It's the perfect spot to spend a summer for a family in Kansas City. And now they've got these new fitness monitors that they just released on Friday. It can tell you how you're really working out, can monitor your heart rate, how many calories you're burning, how much effort you're putting in. It's a great new service that the J is providing. So sign up now and save 40% off your family membership at the J. Check them out at 117th and all. The J is open to everyone. Everyone can live up at the J.
Shopping for a new Ford truck? Then see my friends at Bob Allen Ford. Hi, it's George Brett here. And Bob Allen Ford now has two great locations in Overland Park and Ottawa, Kansas. Shop from an inventory of over 700 vehicles online at kcford.com.
Kincaid Ready Mix is growing fast and currently hiring full and part-time CDL drivers. Benefits include above-market starting pay, paid training, career advancement opportunities, 401k, and outstanding health care. Apply today. Email HR at kincaidreadymix.com. That's HR at kincaidreadymix.com.
So, you've fallen off track with your health and nutritional goals. How do you make it right today? Go to Protein House Kansas City at 13th and Main in the Power and Light District, where you can have a protein-packed, nutritious meal, a vegan or vegetarian.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.